We on? Can we hear me okay? Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for joining the session here today. I understand that the morning sessions are always the harder ones to attend. There's been some wild parties going on in the Gold Coast from what I've heard. So, this session is Managing and Mastering Microsoft Surface in the Enterprise. Now, just to add to some confusion, there's actually another Surface session that's going on next door, where they're going through Surface Studio, and they're actually going to be giving away a Surface Studio to one of the delegates in the audience. So if you've actually gone to the wrong session, then you can pop out now and you can head over there. I won't take offense. Oh, come on, nobody really took the bait on that? Seriously? You guys aren't awake. So, in all seriousness, my name's Rowan Brooker. I'm the technical lead here in Australia for Surface for Microsoft. And my role involves two main things. I get to work with lots of different customers across the country in lots of different scenarios. So whether that's Surface being used in an office scenario, or whether that's Surface being used as a point of sale terminal in our retail stores, or even in education. So having students in their classrooms kitted out with Surface Pro 4. And I get to see that in lots of different scenarios. And my role in all that is to help these organizations get the most out of these devices from a technical perspective. So the second part of my role, while as fun as the first part is my favourite part. I get to act as a bit of a conduit between the Surface customer base here in Australia and the engineering team in Redmond. So those of you who have been on the Surface journey for a little while now, let's maybe take a poll. Who has deployed Surface Pro 4 or Surface Book in your organisation? Show of hands. Very good, fair few. Surface Pro 3. Okay, roughly about the same. Cool. Surface RT. I was not expecting any hands, but that's really great. A device that's near and dear to my heart. But those of you, anyway, who have been on this journey for a little while will appreciate that the way that the Surface engineering team design their products is they love to listen to feedback. They love to hear what you love about the device and what you think that we can do better, because they strive to seek absolute perfection in these devices. And they really do that in two ways. The first way being they put cutting-edge technology in these devices that will surprise and delight you. We've got things like biometric authentication. We've got leading-class pen implementation on these devices. We've got a tablet that can replace your laptop. So we'll always pump great technology into these devices. But the second part, which dictates the product design, is feedback from you guys and what you like about it, what you think that we can do better. And a great example of that is Pro 3 versus Pro 4. So if you take Surface Pro 3, you look at the keyboard, keys are close together, pretty loud to type on, it's got a small trackpad and it's got a pen loop on the side of the device. You then fast forward 12 months, incorporate some feedback, and then what you have is Surface Pro 4. A really nice keyboard, nice and quiet to type on, the keys are spaced apart, it's got a glassy, silky trackpad there, which is really nice, and a pen that just clicks on to the side of the device. So that's all due to user feedback. So it's really important, and I guess that's a long-winded explanation of what I do at Microsoft. So look, in terms of what we're going to cover today for topics, we're going to start off with some of the basics, and then we're going to ramp up to some more of the complex stuff. Now, don't be deceived by the basics, because they're absolutely fundamental and key to the success of these devices in your organization. So we're going to go through drivers, firmware, and UEFI. Then we're going to look at some of the tools that are available to you to help support and deploy these devices within your organization. So we'll look at Diagnostic Toolkit, Wake on LAN, and then we're going to pump up the intensity a little bit and look at one of the latest features, which is Surface Enterprise Management Mode. We'll get into some PowerShell as well. Now, we've got a whole stack of content to get through, so I'm going to try to hold questions at the end. If we don't get to question time at the end, I will be on the showcase down at the stand, so you can catch up with me then. So look, what I also want to do, I don't just want to pump you full of all information, I want to also take a little bit of a reflective look of where Surface has come from. Because we've come a long way since 2012. I mean, if you cast your minds back to 2012, Facebook, they floated on the stock market. We had the beautiful grace of Psy and Gangnam Style be the number one viewed video on the internet. And we also launched Surface in 2012 as well. And this was a huge bet for Microsoft because we'd never been in the PC hardware business, but we really believed that we had something unique and innovative to bring to market and really bring the best out in Windows. So let's take just a little bit of a quick look at one of the portions of the keynote here.
So this is Surface. Now, one more thing I want to show you. This is just a funny story. That's pretty cool. You'll see the picture behind me in just a minute. That's actually Steven Sanosky. Has anybody seen this picture? That's Steven. I love this picture. Yeah. so I'm going to show you something. Steven's actually standing on a skateboard. I know you're all looking at his helmet right now because it's really big. But stop looking at his helmet and look at his feet for just a minute. He's actually standing on a surface. It's a surface skateboard. We're not selling surface as a skateboard. And Surgeon General warning, like, do not stand on one of these things. You'll break your neck. You have to wear a really big helmet like that one and if you're going to ride it. But turns out, down in the model shop, we were so excited about how much we had built out on this product that the guys had put together literally this skateboard.
Wait, the guy, it's my skateboard.
Oh, God, ladies and gentlemen, Steven Sinofsky.
So these will be at the store tonight? No, they won't be at the store tonight. But, well, we don't want to use our sources. But actually, it's just so incredibly cool, and I do love skateboarding. I wanted to make one point, though, because I got so much mail on this. It was a little weird. But there was nothing else added to this. These are just the trucks on the bottom, and there was no stabilizer bar, nothing added. We literally just bought a skateboard, put them on.
Are you really holding a skateboard on stage during the...
I am, but I think we'll just kind of call it a day.
Okay.
I was going to go try... Right. But I got those pictures earlier from practice. Maybe we'll share those later. We'll just go out to the half pipe later.
We'll send them out later today. All right.
Okay, so certainly a little quirky and strange keynote, and we've come a long way from that. There's lots of talks of surface and skateboard and stuff. We've come a long way, if you've seen some of our latest stuff. Lots has changed since then. You know, Steven Sinofsky no longer works for Microsoft. And you see some things have changed, but we ultimately have kept some things the same. And that brings me to the first topic, which is drivers, firmware, and UEFI. This stuff has been fundamental since the beginning. So I first want to talk about the UEFI. So I guess so we're all on the same page here. What I want to do is just explain a few things just to make sure that we're all here together. So we have a BIOS, which you've probably all heard of, so Basic Input Output System. This is a chip that was invented by IBM many, many years ago to help control the hardware and make sure that everything was A-OK before we booted into the operating system. And the key word in that acronym is BASIC. It only had BASIC functionality. And you certainly wouldn't update it or do anything like that. But now you fast forward time and you have its successor, which is the UEFI, or Unified Extensible Firmware Interface. So the key letter in that acronym is extensible. So it is a design choice why the engineering team put a UEFI in these devices, and that's so that they can extend the capabilities of this device after we launch it. In fact, we have over 100 post-launch engineers who do nothing other than support these devices after they've launched. And we release drivers and firmware for this stuff roughly once a month, and even Surface Pro 3 has drivers released only a couple of weeks ago. And how old is that device now? So this is a key concept here that I want to talk about for a bit. So those of you who have used Pro 3 before, you would have seen the UEFI. After we launched Pro 3, though, we put a lot of investment in this space, and we went out into the industry and we hired a whole bunch of really, really smart people, and we brought them into Microsoft, and that have many years of experience in the UEFI, and we built our own UEFI. Because ultimately, what we had before was a third-party UEFI by a company called AMI. The best way to think of it is that we had a house, and we were given this house, we could do anything we wanted inside. We could remodel, we could redecorate, but at the end of the day, it was still the same old UEFI. So that's why we went out and hired all these people. So I want to just flick for a minute here, and we can take a look at the new UEFI within Surface. Okay, let me just turn this around. Focus, okay. Right, okay, so here's the new UEFI. So those of you who have seen the Pro 3 UEFI, the immediate thing you'll see is the aesthetics. It's a lot more pleasing to the eye. It's not black and white text. It's color. It's touch-enabled. So we've got a lot more functionality there from that perspective in aesthetics. And we've also got the same stuff that we had within the UEFI in terms of being able to control UEFI passwords, secure boot, TPM, and lock down the device from that perspective. And we still have the ability to control what we do with the hardware. This is a really, I guess, fundamental point of what's going to play throughout this presentation. So what we're able to do here is actually control the device from a hardware layer. So why is that important? It's arguably more secure. So what we're doing here by toggling these switches on and off, if we go and toggle any one of these to off, we're essentially cutting power to the bus for that device. So what that means is that when we do that, we cut the power, we boot into Windows, Windows doesn't see anything. Windows doesn't think if we go and turn off Wi-Fi and Bluetooth that we even have a Wi-Fi and Bluetooth module on there. So we have nothing to control from that layer of Windows. We've actually gone a step above and we're controlling it from the hardware layer. And we'll get into a little bit more how we do that shortly. We've then got obviously boot configurations here, which you're probably all familiar with, as well as the about section with the regulatory information. And a nice little feature that I'll show you just before we exit the UFI here is the ability to actually boot from these options here by just swiping. So I can go ahead and just swipe left on Boot Manager if I want to go back into Windows. Then I can then go and boot from my desired selection there. So yes, confirming that I immediately want to boot using Boot Manager. So then I go and boot into Windows there. So a nice little feature there. So you're probably all thinking, okay, this is great. You've got all this extensibility stuff. You're going to make the device greater after I buy it. How do you do it? So we do it through drivers and firmware. As I mentioned, we publish drivers and firmware for our current generation devices roughly once per month. And we're extending the capabilities, whether that's battery life, whether that's efficiency during sleep, or whether that's adding actual functionality to the device, like Surface Enterprise Management Mode, which you'll see a little later in the presentation. And we deploy these updates in two ways. We first deploy them outside of Windows Update as an MSI file and a zip file. So these MSI files you can package up as an application and then push out to your fleet and then update the drivers that way through your favourite management tool, SCCM, Intune, etc. We then have the zip file available as well, and that's there to create reference images. So those of you who have been around the traps for a little while are probably saying, okay, this is all good, but where's WSUS? So there's a little bit of a story as to why WSUS isn't on that list, which I'll tell you about now. So the Surface engineering team and the Windows engineering team often work very close together. And Surface usually takes the lead from Windows a lot of the time. So when we first were coming out with Surface, the Surface team and the engineering team got together, and the Windows team said, hey, guys, we've got this really great new way to deploy firmware and drivers. It's called model-based servicing. It's this single capsule that will hold all your drivers and all your firmware, one package. It's going to be the way of the future, and this is what all the OEMs are going to do future. We should really put this in Surface. So the Surface team said, that's great, that sounds fantastic, let's do it. So we fast forward a little bit of time, and it turns out that perhaps the WSUS team weren't in that meeting, because when that model-based servicing hits WSUS, it kind of throws its hands up and goes, I don't know what that is. So we've had to rethink that strategy, and we now have actually moved to what we call CHID targeting, so computer hardware ID targeting, which is probably what you've seen on some of your other OEM devices, where it's just line by line by line with each separate driver and firmware update. So that's the reason that we publish the MSIs, and that's still the best recommended approach. We're nearly there with WSUS. We've got a few things to change on the WSUS side, but from the Surface perspective, we're all good. We will get there, but as it stands, this is the best way to keep your devices up to date. So now you're thinking, okay, cool, this all sounds good, this is how we do it, but it kind of sounds pretty manual. So we recommend that as an organization, you come up with a really good strategy when it comes to updating the drivers and firmware on these devices, because it's absolutely critical. If you want the best end user experience for these devices, then you must be running the latest drivers and firmware. You will have the best experience that way. So you have to stay on top of it. You need a good strategy. Not as complex as Windows, but certainly a strategy in place. So this is kind of what we recommend. So we have an IT Pro bulletin. And this is a proactive notification that will say, hey, there's some new drivers for Surface. You should go and download them. Here's what we've changed. I guess just as a side comment, anything that I refer to about signing up or downloading or reading further, I'm going to have a slide at the end with all the resources that you can download this deck at the end, and then you can kind of go through at your leisure. So don't worry, you won't miss out on anything. So we get this notification to say there's new drivers. We go and then head over to the download center, download these drivers, and then we go and do some integration testing within our own environment. So a small test group of users. We don't want to kind of beat a dead horse here. We just want to do some basic testing and make sure that there's no conflicts, particularly around Wi-Fi that's very specific to each organization's environment. Do some basic testing, and then we deploy to the broader organization using SCCM or Intune, your favorite management suite. We then rinse and repeat. So we then get into this cycle of constantly making sure that the devices are kept up to date. If you put this type of strategy in place, you will absolutely ensure success for these devices within your organization. Okay, So I want to fast forward time a little bit now, and we'll take a little bit of a look back at a clip from the Surface Pro 3 launch.
But let's talk about the screen for a minute, because that's pretty important. It's an absolutely beautiful screen. And when you look at the Surface Pro 2 screen in a 16:9 aspect ratio, and you look at the Surface Pro 3 screen, we've grown it to a 12-inch diagonal. Now, I want to explain that to you really quick. Pushing it to 12 inches was critical. If we want to do more, if we want to help people be more, if we want to be more productive, sitting right in between the tablet and the laptop and getting to the point where you can replace your laptop, this is a critical, critical element. 12 inches, it is a beautiful screen. It's a 3:2 aspect ratio, which we'll talk about later. It's something that hasn't really been done before in this size. It's a 2160x1440 display. We call it pixel-free. It is the same ClearType technology that you've seen in Surface Pro 2. It's optically bonded. It has the highest contrast ratios in the industry. Critical. Productivity. Not a sexy word. I totally get it. But to be more productive, to help yourself do more, to get more done, the higher those ratios are, the less eye strain you have. I know it's subtle, but it matters. It just means you get less tired. That's super important. But just look at the screen. It is gorgeous. I can talk specs all day, and quite frankly, it doesn't bore me, but it probably bores you. This product is beautiful.
And yes, it was beautiful, absolutely. And you can see a vastly different keynote. There's no mentions of skateboards. Steven Sanofsky's not around. It's vastly different, but we also look at the way that we talk about the technology. It's not just speeds and feeds. It's how that relates to the end user and what's the net result in that. And, you know, arguably, Surface Pro 3 is where we really hit our straps when it came to being a commercial device. You know, I think when we started out with Surface, we had about one guy who was looking after the commercial interests of Surface RT. You then fast forward to now, the Surface Pro 3 launch, we had over 60 different program managers and engineers who were exclusively looking out for the interests of the commercial customer. So why is that important? So there's two reasons why that's important. First off is that they represent your interests when it comes to product design. And there's a really great story that I want to tell you about where a program manager recently joined just after the launch of Pro 3, and he came from the premier side of Microsoft. So he was a PFE. He had had a lot of experience in the commercial space. He joined the team and they said, okay, your first project is going to be this device we're going to launch shortly, and it's called Surface 3. So we want you to take a look at it and tell us what you think. So this is about probably a couple of months before launch. And he takes the device, he has a bit of a play around for a few days, and he comes back and he says, yeah, this is fantastic. This is a great device. But my biggest gripe here is for the commercial customer, because this is a 32-bit device. So what you're saying is that, okay, organizations are going to be deploying Pro 3 and possibly Surface 3 in their same environment because they're similar use cases, but you're going to make them upkeep a 32-bit image and a 64-bit image, then that's outside of the efficiencies. So that's the feedback that he gave, and lo and behold, just before we launched Surface 3, we changed it and it was a 64-bit device. So that's why it's really important for you guys, that commercial interest is there. The second part of this is that they build tools for you guys. So that's all they do. They build tools to help support and manage these devices within your organization. And this is going to be a bit of a theme for the rest of the presentation in terms of what we see here. So, you know, when you buy Surface, you don't just buy the premium device experience, you also buy these tools along with it. And one of the first tools that I want to show you is the Surface Diagnostic Toolkit. So the Surface Diagnostic Toolkit is the one-stop shop when it comes to troubleshooting. It's a standalone XE, so it doesn't require install. You can just throw it on a USB. And this will help you diagnose a whole bunch of issues, whether that's hardware or software and configuration. It will help you for that. This tool is very powerful. This is actually the same tool that our service centers use when you return a device back to us. They will run this tool against that device to make sure that everything is as it has been reported in terms of broken. So what I want to do now, I'll just jump out and I'll give you a demo of this tool here. So as you can see here, Surface Diagnostic Toolkit. So here's the tool. So we've got two options here that we can use. We can use run all tests or run specific tests. So run all tests, I think the last time I checked, there's about 28 different tests. So we won't be doing that. We'll go ahead and just run specific tests. And what we're presented with here is a whole bunch of different tests. both hardware and software. So we've got Windows Update Check, Device Manager, and then we've got a whole bunch of hardware stuff, so MuscleWire, Fan, Pixel, DGPU. Now, this tool is smart enough to recognize which device it's being run on as well. So currently, I'm presenting on a Surface Book, so that's why you see MuscleWire on there, that's why you see laptop mode battery. So it'll actually detect which Surface you're running on. So what I want to do is just run a hardware test to give you guys an idea. So a nice one is the Digitizer Multi-Touch. So I select my test, hit run. I'm then presented with a set of instructions as to what to do. So it's going to be full screen. I touch the screen and make sure the number of events corresponds with my points of touch. So I go and use one finger to touch. As you can see, that's working. I got 2, 5, 10. So as you can see, all the corresponding touch events are working as they should. So now this tool will be a neat tool if, say, you get a report of, oh, you know, I'm losing touch in my top left corner of the screen. So I could go and run this tool, and I could go and fill in the top left corner of the screen here just to make sure everything's being detected as it is. And then, you know, this is going to help me narrow down my troubleshooting. I can say, okay, look, there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with the hardware, and it's unlikely that it's drivers as well because we're actually getting it here all okay in the tool. So it's a neat little tool that you can help diagnose some of the hardware issues that you may face with Surface. We then have the option then to mark the test as passed and failed. Some will do it automatically in terms of the tests. Some will be manual because there's ultimately no way Windows can know if I touched using 5 fingers or 2 fingers in this example, right? So I go ahead and hit passed. And then I get my summary of all my tests that I run and what passed and what failed. And I can then go ahead and save that to a log file as well. So I can hit save and I'll go and export my results from there, as you can see here. So I won't save that. I'll run it again. And I want to move away from some of the hardware tests and go back to run specific tests. So I next want to look at the Windows Update Check. So I've been harping on so far about how important drivers and firmware are. So this is a really neat test. So this will help provide some clarity if you're a little confused whether a device is running the latest drivers and firmware. So I can hit run test, and it's going to check for updates. And you're probably thinking, well, that's not so exciting. But the reason that this is a little different is because if I have WSUS on site, this tool is going around WSUS. So if you have that in your infrastructure, this, what's happening now is we're going out to the internet and we're checking to make sure that the drivers are, and firmware are actually the latest that we're running on our device. So as you can see here, I've got 2 bangs. I've got a Dell monitor here that I haven't got the driver for, probably not super critical. Display link driver that's missing, absolutely critical. That's a big no-no. So as you can see here, I'm given the list of what Windows is seeing in terms of what's outdated. And I can then go ahead and install those updates now if I wanted to. I won't. And then again, we can go ahead and save those results to the log file. So a neat little check, just to kind of a sanity check to make sure you are running the latest drivers and firmware. And they've been applied correctly because sometimes there's certain hiccups that can happen when we're deploying these drivers and firmware. So finally, I want to show you one last test, which is called the device information test. This is a really great test that will culminate a whole bunch of really interesting and important reports from Windows to help you troubleshoot a whole bunch of various issues. I'm not going to run the actual test live because it's far too long. So I'm going to go to one that I've prepared earlier. I've always wanted to say that. Okay, so as you can see here, what I've done, I've exported my results to a zip, and what's happened is that I've gone and it's gone and collected a whole bunch of reports to help me troubleshoot any particular issues. So as you can see here at the bottom, I've got Windows events, so I've got a whole bunch of event logs here. I've got Wi-Fi, so it generates the wireless report, seeing what's happening when we're changing particular channels, when we're changing networks, so we can diagnose that. We've also got my favorite one, the power. So the power reports that are generated are essentially the 4 main reports that will help you diagnose any kind of power-related management issues that you're seeing. And they're all in one place, which is nice. So the first one up the top there that you'll see is the battery report. This will give you a nice feed of, you know, how many cycles the battery has had, what's the capacity versus what's it actually charging to, when it's coming on and off AC, if it's going into connected standby, if it's sleeping, etc. So it gives you a nice overview to kind of start with. You've then got an energy report, which will take a 60-second snapshot of the device while it's idle. And then that will see, okay, you've got these processes consuming so much CPU, that's going to drain your battery. You've got your screen timeout set a little long. It'll flag different items for you where battery drain is being consumed. We then have a sleep study report, which will tell you how efficiently the device is sleeping. So, you know, I close my laptop and, my Surface, and when I open it back up, there's no battery left. So this would be a great report for that, because you could see which processors are actually keeping the device in a higher level of sleep than it actually should be. And then finally, if you really want to get serious and get down into the weeds, there's the SRUM util report. So this is a really neat one. So this will actually break down each process, and it will also then break it down into what's using it. So how much disk energy is it using? How much CPU energy is it using? How much network energy is it using? So if you really want to get down and dirty with that, that's the one to go for. I'd love to kind of go more into that stuff, because it's a good topic of mine, but I don't have time. But if you do want to come and have a chat a little bit more about that later, again, I'll be down at the showcase. I'll just switch back here. Right. So the next feature that I want to talk about is a really brand new feature. In fact, it's only a couple of weeks old, which is Wake on LAN. Again, just to level set to make sure we're all on the same page, Wake on LAN is the ability to send what we call a magic packet to a device that's in sleep and wake that device up, and then you can go and perform maintenance. Say you want to apply an update or install an application. So this is what this functionality is for. And unfortunately, we had some blockers when it came to connected standby. Surface has never been able to support Wake on LAN because it was a connected standby device. The reason for this is that connected standby uses what we call this packet pattern matching. So a whole bunch of packets will come through and the different patterns are matched and it'll give you different functionality. So if you're familiar with connected standby, you can probably see how that would work. Now, the problem with this, when they added all these extra pattern matching for different functionality, they took out the pattern for the magic packet. So we didn't have Wake on LAN. So up until about 2 weeks ago, we didn't have it. But we've now gone ahead and we've added that back in. So this is a Windows side of the house project that they've gone ahead and added that back in. So that magic packet is now available. So now the requirements are here. So if you're running the anniversary update, so the magic packet's back in there. If you're connected via the Surface Ethernet adapter or the dock, that's another requirement. There's also a small Ethernet driver that you download and apply. It's that special magic packet detection pattern. So you download that driver and apply it to the device, which will enable this Wake on LAN functionality. And then as a final point, the device needs to be connected to power. So those of you who aren't so familiar with Wake on LAN, this is a really neat solution in that it'll tie really nicely into SCCM. So when you go and deploy an application, it's just simply a tick box. We can say, send a magic packet before I go and try to install this. So it's really, it'll be a seamless operation. Okay, now I want to get a little bit hotter in here when it comes to complexity. We'll start talking about Surface Enterprise Management Mode, or SEM, because we love acronyms at Microsoft. So there's been a lot of talk about the value of being able to control the device from a hardware layer and the advantages there. And that's really important to some organizations when it comes to security protocols. And you're probably thinking, okay, this is all great, but how do I do that at scale? You know, I've got 1,000 Surface Pro 4s. How do I do this? So that's where Surface Enterprise Management Mode comes in. So there are two options to enroll a device in SEM. So the first one is by what we call the UFI configurator. The second option is via a PowerShell script. So before I go into them more specifically, there are some requirements that are common across both. So requirements being it can only be done on Surface Pro 4 and Surface Book. Again, it's back to that new UFI. We've got a new house. We can do all these wonderful things. So we need Surface Pro 4 or Surface Book. We need to be running the latest version of the UFI as well to open up that functionality. And then finally, we need to use our organization certificate. Now, we'll get into that a little bit more detail in the demo that I'll do. But ultimately, we're going to generate a configuration package which will push the device, but it needs to be signed by a certificate. And we'll get into the details a little bit more later. But ultimately, what we recommend as a general rule of thumb is a certificate that's authenticated via your two-tier public key infrastructure within your organization. So what I want to first do is just give you an overview of both and kind of the workflow and how they both work, and then we'll dive into a demo and hopefully you can learn from that way. So the UFI configurator, this was the first option that was made available to actually enroll the device into SEM. So one of the design goals when they created the configurator was that we wanted to lower the complexity when it came to using this type of functionality. So we're not all PowerShell gurus, and I will say that I'm certainly not one. There's probably many in the room here today, but we're not all that way. So we wanted to lower the bar when it came to technical complexity. So this is a GUI-based tool that you essentially go through kind of like a wizard, and you'll be able to set your functionality and your desired configurations. And when you actually deploy these scripts and you run this MSI that you create, you'll be running as a, you need to execute it as a local admin user. Okay, so some of you who have been around the traps for a little while will probably realize when I deploy via SCCM, I'm not a local admin user, I'm system service. So that's one of the limitations of this tool, which is where the PowerShell comes into play. We'll get into that in a little bit. So the general workflow is that we run the configurator, we then go through the GUI, we set our required settings that we want for configuration. We then upload our organization certificate into the tool, which will generate an MSI package, which is then signed by that certificate. Once it's generated, we then go and deploy that MSI to the devices, and then we complete the enrollment process, and we've enrolled into Surface Enterprise Management mode. So that's a bit of an overview of how the configurator works. We then have the UFI Manager and PowerShell option. So as I mentioned, this is obviously a PowerShell-based option, and we will run as a system service. So this is a recommendation if you're going to be deploying via SCCM and want to do it during your deployment phase, that you use this particular option. So the bit of an overview of this one, we create the configuration script that we want via PowerShell. Once we've done that, we then point the script to where our certificate is, so we can then sign the subsequent configuration package that the script will make. And this is where it's a little bit different to the configurator. Each device that you enroll within SEM, you need to also install the UFI Manager MSI. What that is essentially doing under the hood is making the assemblies for this available to be configured. And then once that's done, we can then go and deploy that configuration script from there. So that's kind of the general workflow for that one. So what I want to do now is when I go into a demo, and hopefully we can learn from that. So just go ahead and minimize this one. So I want to start off with the configurator to begin with. This is a simpler one, so hopefully we can learn some key concepts and then we can dive into the PowerShell when we get more complex. So this is the GUI that I mentioned. So we go ahead and click Start. We've then got three different options we can choose from. So we can create a configuration package, which is obviously the initial enrollment, setting the configurations that we want. We then have the ability to reset the device or unenroll from SEM. So once we've actually configured it and we want to unenroll it for whatever reason, we can do that and create a reset package. And then we've got the recovery request. And this is kind of a fallback, a manual approach to be actually unenrolling the device from SEM. Should we not able to be able to push out a reset package for network connectivity or remote user, etc., we can fall back on this manual recovery request. So I'll jump into the configuration package. Hopefully you guys can read that up there. So what we're prompted with first is to upload our certificate, as I mentioned before. So this is a really important step here. So whichever certificate that we choose, we need to keep using this same certificate. So if I go and push out a configuration with certificate A, I need to keep using certificate A. If I push out a reset package with a different certificate, it's going to say no, they don't match. So don't lose this certificate, because if you lose it, there's literally nothing that Microsoft can do for you. You will have to send the device back, and then we'll give you a brand new one. So on the TechNet article, what will actually be included is a bit of a PowerShell script that will help, that will create for you a self-signed certificate. So it's a bit of a demo certificate, so you can have a bit of a play around with the tool just to see what's actually going on without actually using your organization certificate. So I've gone ahead and done that already. So as you can see here, I've created this certificate called Temp Owner. So this is my dummy certificate. I've gone and created that. And for the demo certificate, which you'll find out if you use the PowerShell script, has a very secure password of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And we hit OK. So I get the green tick. As you can see here, I've successfully uploaded my certificate. We're all good. This is what I'm going to sign every configuration and every reset package with. Once I've done that, I then have the option to play around with what we want to do with the UFI password. And there's a couple of different options that we can do with this. So let's say that I have a Surface Pro 4 that's got a UFI password on there already, and I want to go in and enroll that into Surface Enterprise Management mode. I can either A, keep that same password that's already existing on the UFI, B, I can set it to something completely different, or C, I can remove it altogether. So you've got a couple of different options depending on what the current state of the device is. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to hit OK. And as you can see here on the bottom line, hopefully, if you want to remove the UFI password, please leave this field blank. So I want to remove any existing UFI password that's on a device that I deploy this configuration package to. So we're good to go so far. We've got certificate protection and password protection. We hit Next. We then got the option to choose which device we actually want to enroll into Surface Enterprise Management mode. So we can create a universal package where the package will figure it out itself. So if we deploy it to Pro4 and Book, it'll work out the appropriate settings, which is what I'm going to do here. We're then presented with a very familiar toggle switch system here that we saw in the UFI. So this is where we go and actually set the configurations that we want. So what I'm going to do, I guess, is a bit of a theme throughout all these configurations. I'm going to turn off Wi-Fi and Bluetooth because it's probably the easiest one for you guys to see if it's worked or not. So I'm going to go ahead and turn that off. And I hit Next. Then I'm presented with turn on and off TPM, the boot options. And then this last column is an interesting one. So as you saw when we were in the UFI, we had these different tabs on the side that we could flick between. Now, we can actually hide those from the user. So if a user was actually to boot into the UFI, we can go and hide the security page or the devices page if we didn't want end users seeing what were the settings that we've set. So we have that option there as well, which is neat. I'm not going to change any of that. I'll leave that all the same, and I'll hit Build. So I then choose my save location. All right, and we'll call this Configure. Ignite. Let's hit save that. Building the package. Success. Okay. There is one last point here that's very, very important, which I'll get to shortly. It's given us the last two characters of the thumbprint of the certificate that we used. So I'm going to need your help. I need you to remember those two numbers for me, and I'll call on you guys later to see why that's so important. So remember 70. So I hit end, and I'm all done. And then just for completion's sake, while we're in the tool, we'll look at the reset package. So we open up the reset package. We're already in the same session, so we're using the same certificate, which is what we need. We hit Next. Now, we then have to generate specific reset packages for specific devices in this particular case. So I have to enter the particular serial number for my Surface device. I'll obviously just put in a 12-digit dummy one there. I hit Build. Configurator, we'll save that in there. So reset, ignite. We're building that, and success. We've built now a reset package and a configuration package. So I've gone ahead and saved that in this one here. So as you can see, I've got my two reset packages in there, and I've also had a text file that's been generated for me as well. And this gives me a nice overview of exactly what was configured. So I've got my certificate information in there. I've got clear the UFI password. And then as we scroll down, as you can see here, I've got Wi-Fi and Bluetooth is turned off. So I get a nice little summary of what I've done. So, I'm not actually going to enroll the device like that. I'm now going to switch over to the PowerShell option. Hopefully, we've kind of seen some of the fundamentals of how it works. I'll switch over to the PowerShell option. I'll do it for PowerShell, and we'll enroll the device to see what it all looks like. So, on our TechNet site, what we'll have is a zip that you can download with a whole bunch of these sample scripts. So you can hack and slash these sample scripts to create your own configuration scripts to use within your organization. And there's heaps of different ones that are available there. So you've got everything from verifying the settings, see what settings are on the current device, see what the settings options are. But we're not going to go through all of them. We're just going to go through the two main two to help you guys get off the ground with this stuff. So we're going to use the reset package and the configure one. So I'm going to go ahead and unzip that. This resolution is giant. I'm going to copy that in, unzip that. So I've unzipped that. Now, one important part is that wherever I run these scripts from, I need to also keep my certificate in that same folder. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to open up PowerShell. And we'll go ahead and we'll start to look at the script. Let's close that. Open up this. Configure. Okay, so here we have the script. So I'm not going to go line by line. I'm just going to do two things. I'm going to talk about the bits that you need to change to get you up and running, and then I'm just going to call out a few interesting lines in here. So the first line that we need to look at is line 60, just here, and also line 62. What we're doing here is essentially pointing the script towards the particular certificate that we're going to be using from our organization. So on line 60 here, as we can see, we've got a fake certificate in there. I'm going to go and change that to my certificate, which is temp owner, as we know, on line 60, and then also on line 62. Tempona. So we've gone ahead and we've shown the script what certificate we're going to be using. We'll then jump down to line 67, and we'll put our very secure password in of 123456789. So we're all good from the certificate perspective. We've told the script where the certificate is and what one we're going to be using. So we'll scroll down a little more. And we're going to go a little bit further down. And this is an interesting line here. So this is an extra protection that we provide within the packages that you create. So what we do is each configuration package is given a version. And the way that we determine that version is that we take the year 2000, and we take today's date, we minus that, and we get a number. So that number, that version is going to continually get bigger. So what it means is that each one will have a version, and we will always take the lowest supported version. So what that means is that it will take a version number that is equal to or greater than what is currently in the UFI. So I create one package, two package, three package, four package. I've got all these version numbers, and then all of a sudden the bad guy gets package one. He used to work for the organization. He knows the UFI password. He gets that. He then tries to push that to our devices so he can unlock the UFI. The UFI will say, no, that's not the lowest supported version. So that prevents against what we call a replay attack. A nice little extra piece of functionality in there. So we'll scroll down a little bit. Okay, and we're going to focus on line 212 here. And this is where the using the PowerShell is going to start to diverge from the configurator. We get that extra piece of functionality and flexibility with this. So we have this now, this concept in the PowerShell of who owns a setting. Is it the configuration package, or can the local user change it as well? So we have two options here. We've got two variables, owner and local, and owner only. So that means that if it's set to owner only, it means that only a configuration package can change a particular setting in the UFI, or we can set it to owner and local, which means that a local user could boot in. So what that means, as I guess as an organization, if you maybe want to configure stuff and you have a bit of flexibility around your security, and you're an IT pro and you want to just quickly go and boot off USB, for example, but that's configured to be off, I could then just boot into the UFI. If it's set to local and owner, then I can go and just turn that off and on again myself. It gives you that extra layer of flexibility there. So what we're doing in this loop here in online 212, we're going through a for each loop. We're setting each value within the UFI to be owner only, which means that only settings that are done by the configuration package can be done. So it goes through here. And scroll down a little bit further, and in this sample script, what they do with these ones, once jumping out of this for loop, is that they go and set a whole bunch of settings here that the local user can change as well. So what I want to do here is go and change this so the local user can also turn on and off Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So the way that we do this, we can refer to settings within the UFI by two ways. The first way is by settings, by the name. So on line 219 here, we've got Trusted Platform Module. That's how we call it. And then we can also call it by ID. And this is all documented in the TechNet article, so you've got a reference so you can determine which one's what. So I'm going to go ahead and hack and slash this a little bit. I'm going to delete all that. I'm going to change this one to 308 because I know off the top of my head that 308 is Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So what I've essentially done, just to recap, we've gone through a for loop. We've gone and set every setting to be owner only, so only configuration packages can change stuff, but we've gone and set one setting that the local user can change too, so they can go and change the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So we'll scroll down a little bit more, and then what we're going to get to is setting the actual settings. So again, it's a very familiar thing, so we're going through a for loop here again with these settings, and what we're doing is we are setting everything to the default value, so we get a good known state, and then we're jumping out and we're changing some settings here, as you can see. So we've got a couple of different options in how we can set the settings. You've got the easy ones, disabled or enabled, quite straightforward. You've also got this other option here on line 294 to clear configured value. That's essentially calling a method that will allow you to keep the current setting. So for example, back to that UFI password, if I'd already set something, I wouldn't set it to enabled or disabled, I'd set it to clear configured value, which would allow me to keep that same UFI password that exists on the device. So, as we know, my goal here is to turn off Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So I'm going to change a couple of lines here. I'm going to go on 294. I'm going to change this. So we're going to call settings by ID, and we're going to change that to 308. We're going to get rid of this clear configured value method because I want to configure it to disabled. change that to configured value equals disabled. Okay. I'll go and get rid of the rest of that. And we're done. So just to recap what we've done, we've gone through, we've set everything to the default, we've then jumped out and we've turned off Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Okay, hang in there, we're nearly done. We've got one last piece and then we can see this all come to life. So we'll scroll down a little bit here. The last piece that I just want to point out is these last lines down here. So what we'll actually do, when we run this script on a particular device, it's going to write a reg key that you can then query for auditing purposes to then see if a device has been attempted to be enrolled into Surface Enterprise Management mode. And that's it. We're done. So I'll go ahead and save that script, and we're complete from that perspective. While we're in PowerShell, we'll very, very quickly just do the reset sem script. So this is the reset package. What we're doing here is creating a universal reset package that we can push to any device to unenroll from Surface Enterprise Management mode. And this is a lot less complex, obviously, because we're just unenrolling. We only need to make two changes. And that's, again, pointing to that same certificate that we used to configure the device initially. So on line 38, I've got to go and change that to temp owner. And again, I've got to go and put in my very secure password of 123456789. And we're done. So we've now created a configuration package and a reset package that is ready to be deployed via SCCM. So what I'm going to do here is kind of try to emulate that as best I can with this USB. And I'm going to go and enroll this Surface Pro 4. So let me just copy the script here. Okay, plug this in. Okay. Oh, sorry, I didn't have the camera on. Let me turn that around. Turn the camera on here. Okay, so we'll go ahead and open up that script. So configure SEM. Now, I guess there's a bit of a precursor. I've already installed that small MSI that I mentioned about before to allow for this to happen. That's already been done on this device. So then what I do now is I simply go ahead and run the script. Fingers crossed. Okay, we're all good. So everything's completed successfully. We've given the thumbprint here, and we've got a restart required. 70, great. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to restart the device. So let's do an advanced boot here, and we'll boot into the UEFI. And what we'll see here is a couple of different restarts that are going to happen. So let's go to Troubleshoot, Advanced, UEFI Settings, Restart. So what you're going to see, we're going to restart. That package is in there. It's ready to go. It goes into the UEFI, and the UEFI says, I need you to confirm activation. So this is a very important step. This is back to, thank you, whoever said that, the thumbprint. What we require for a user to do, or whoever's deploying the device, is to input those last two digits. And you're probably thinking, oh man, that is a pain. That's gone from a zero-touch deployment to a one-touch deployment. But there's a very good reason why we do that. Because ultimately, if we could push this stuff out silently, then that means that the bad guys, or your best friend who's playing a joke on you, you could go and enroll your device silently within Surface Enterprise Management mode without any confirmation, which means that you go from buying a beautiful new Surface Book that's premium, and they can go and turn off Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, cameras, everything, and you go from a premium device to something that's barely even a laptop. So it's very important why we've implemented it the way we have. So that's where we confirm the enrollment by typing in 70, and we hit OK. We confirm the enrollment. The package is then pushed into the UEFI. We'll then restart again because I want to boot into the UEFI as I selected from advanced boot. Okay, so the package is in there. We'll boot into the UEFI. Okay, and here we go. So if I go into the first tab, okay, looks like it worked. So, as we can see here at the top, some settings are managed by your organization. And as we set all who owns what settings, all these settings are grayed out. I can't do anything because it's only changeable by pushing a configuration package. And if we go to devices, as we expect, everything's turned on, except we turned off Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and we also allowed the local owner to also control that setting there too. So we've gone ahead and everything's been pushed successfully. And we've also got an extra tab here called Enterprise Management, which gives us a bit of a summary of what's happening here. So we've got our certificate information in there, and we've also got this Reset Surface Enterprise Management Mode Get Started section. And this is back to that manual recovery request that I mentioned in the configurator. So that's where you initiate that. So let's go and exit out of that, boot into Windows, and then hopefully what we should see is that we don't have any Wi-Fi connection. We boot in and Windows should think that there is no Wi-Fi within the device. Okay, booting into Windows. Log in using Windows Hello. If you haven't already deployed this, absolutely recommend it. It's one of my favorite features. Okay, and then hopefully, I'll just move this back slightly so you can see the taskbar. That's a lot of wobbling. Okay, so as you can see here, as we expect, we go to network, we got nothing, because Windows doesn't think that there's a Wi-Fi module in there. So what we've done, we've successfully enrolled this device into Surface Enterprise Management Mode, locked down the UEFI from a hardware layer, and got that full control over the device. So just for the sake of completion, what I'm going to do here, I'll run that reset package that we created, and I'll go and unenroll the device. So I'll open that package, I'll go to reset, open, run that. Everything's completed successfully. I'll go ahead and restart. So what's going to happen now, very similar to what we did with the configuration package, once we boot into the UEFI, it's going to restart. It's going to see that there's a reset package sitting there waiting to be deployed into the UEFI. It's going to go, yep, okay, yes, the certificates match, this is okay. That's gone in, we're unenrolling the device. We're then going to then boot into the UEFI. And lo and behold, we have access back to our settings because we've unenrolled from there. We also now have no Enterprise Management Mode tab. That's gone because we've been unenrolled. We do still have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth off. You can obviously change that in your script if you want to reset package to send everything back to default. You can do that. In the sample script, we didn't do that. So we can go ahead and just turn that back on, hit exit, and restart. So that's end-to-end how you activate Surface Enterprise Management Mode. And it gives you that ability to have that, again, that extra control from the hardware layer to control the device and what the users are doing. Particularly good in education. I mean, when we look at UEFI passwords, you know, kids love to mess around where they can. So being able to preset the UEFI password at scale before you give it to the students so they don't just go and set their own passwords is a nice little thing. So let me switch back now. So I guess just to bring things full circle here, what I want to do now is just take a look at the Surface Studio launch, which was only late at the end of 2016.
I'd like to introduce you to Surface Studio. It is all fundamentally made to immerse you into the content or to the creation that you want to work with. It's housing the thinnest LCD that has ever been created at 1.3 millimeter that sits in this product at this size. Take a look at the front of this product. It's a 28-inch diagonal. That's 28 inches across. It pushes 13.5 million pixels. That's about 63% more than a 4K TV if you're doing the math. Well, at 8.5 by 11 and 12, check this out. That is the exact same product that you see on the screen there. That's a one-for-one match. We spent tireless night taking the air out of this product, integrating a 270-watt power supply, an NVIDIA 980M GPU with a 12K on the 3D mark, for those of you who know what it is, a Core i7 quad-core in the product, a 2TB rapid hard drive, 32 gigabytes of memory, 3 Interlink fans with unprecedented cooling, unbelievable, an Xbox protocol for wireless controllers built into the product, and 2.1 surround sound speakers. It all fits perfectly in this perfect little tiny box with only one cable coming out the back of it. Surface has always been about more. It was never as simple as just a desktop. It is a product that was made to help get you to your most creative point. Now this is Surface Studio. There are 80 custom parts in those two arms, each having 80, which is critical. Creating a zero gravity hinge, Because what we have is a 13-pound display with all its thinness and the aluminum enclosure that we talked about. You can pick any angle. We have a counter spring system in that same base we talked about earlier that allows you to put it in any position you want. I now want to introduce you to this thing, the Surface Dial. The Surface Dial was created as a new form of input. This product was meant to help you change that workflow, give you that next option to help you create even faster. Now for $3,000, it's an incredible value. It's for the creators and the professionals out there. It's got so much opportunity. I can't wait for you guys to get your hands on it. I just can't. I want you to get your hands on this product. I think it's going to enable each and every one of us to achieve more.
Cool. So a very, very different keynote from when you think back to 2012 when we were skateboarding on stage with Steven Sinofsky. You know, it's in a massive arena now, lots of fanfare and excitement. We talk about how the device matters to the user. We now even look at Panos in a suit jacket, so we're classing things up a bit. But look, I get it. At the end of the day, this is all still marketing. I get that. But it's reflective of where we've really come from as an engineering team, as a business, and as a product. We've really come a long way. We've put a lot of investment into this. And we really believe that it's a truly innovative and unique product, and we're going to continue to surprise and delight you with future devices as we go forward. So look, here's that resource slide that I spoke about. Again, don't have to worry about copying this down. This will be downloadable later, so you'll be able to take a look at that. You can take some quick photos if you really want, but it will be available for download later. And again, you've probably seen this quite a few times, but it's still important. Continue your learning path. You've got your various resources there. I've been told that you need to complete your evaluations ASAP. You know, it helps us, give us feedback. Did you like this? Do we make more of this? Do we make less of this? Give us feedback. Be kind, but be honest. And then you can win a chance to fly the drone tonight, and also a reminder to collect your wristbands at the bottom from that location. And I did forget to mention that I actually am giving away something. It's not a Surface Studio, but it is a pair of Surface-branded headphones. And it was going to be a pop quiz, so hopefully you've just been listening regardless of whether it was a prize or not. So what I want to do is ask a two-part question, and let me finish both questions. And the first person to put their hand up, we can see how we go. Okay, so first part. What is the fundamental reason why we choose to implement a UFI in Surface opposed to a BIOS? And the second part of the question is, what is the biggest takeaway for you from this session? Yes, sir.
You're in the house for the UFI, so that was the reason why you use that. And you can build and do whatever you want. And SEMM is the takeaway.
SEMM?
Yeah, SEMM is the takeaway.
Great, no worries. We could elect that after for you if you like. Cool. Okay. So look, that's it from me. Look, thank you very much. Thank you for being Surface customers. Thank you. Thank you for being Surface customers. Thank you for coming for the session. Again, if you're going through proof of concepts or pilots within your organization, I am on the showcase for the rest of the day and tomorrow, along with Windows guys. So come and see me, have a chat, and thanks again. Enjoy Ignite.